COVID-19 is making and creating opportunities for us to do things differently. And there's a conversation now around digital voting and whether or not that's something we need to start embracing. According to the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance, more than 47 states and jurisdictions have had their elections postponed as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the number is increasing. However, during this pandemic, there were states and jurisdictions such as Mali and South Korea that decided to go ahead with the elections. Let's speak to Terry Tselane, who is the executive chairman of the Institute of Election Management Services in Africa. Mr. Tselane, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon to you and to your listeners.
You make an argument that it's time for us to start considering digital voting. I want us to maybe look at the countries that have continued with elections in the midst of COVID-19, Mali and South Korea, just some of them. How did they go about doing that, you know, having in mind the need to also manage the risk of those people?
Well, the first thing, let's focus on Korea, because Korea, to a large extent, presents us with the best case in terms of management of the elections during a pandemic such as COVID-19. In the case of Korea, even though most of their systems are electronic, there is still a requirement for people to go to the voting station to touch a screen and still be able to cast a vote. But what they decided to do was to cooperate and synchronize their programs with the health officials, so that the electoral process provided them with an opportunity for health officials to do the testing, as well as referral of those cases that required further attention. And then also what they had to do was to ensure that every voting station was sanitized, all the officials that were working at the voting station level and had their PPEs on or personal protective equipment on. And it has therefore also a requirement that each and every person who's coming to the voting station should wear a face mask, and that social distancing was practiced with the queue workers, making sure that the distance between individuals who are coming to vote, it's at least 1 meter apart. Mm. So those are some of the aspects that have actually put in place in the case of Korea. But the bigger case that I'm making is that even though Korea has actually been able to manage election during the COVID-19 pandemic, there is a need for all election management bodies to transit to electronic voting, because electronic voting then makes it much more easier for voters to participate in the electoral processes without the elections being postponed.
So how would that electronic voting work?
Look, I mean, recently as IMSA, we conducted remote voting assisting Sefako Makato Health Sciences University with our processes. So it is possible for voters to vote without necessarily having to go to a voting station. So remote voting is something that is being considered, and I think it is one of the best ways of actually making sure that wherever people are, as long as they've got access to smartphones or to computer equipment or laptops, they can actually be able to participate in the electoral processes. Mm. And I think the voter turnout is likely to be even much more higher, particularly if you take in consideration the proliferation of smartphones in different countries.
Mm. But given the country like ours, are we not also going to be faced with the reality of limitations in terms of those digital resources to carry out these electoral polls, especially in very, you know, poor communities, rural areas? How would we ensure then that those people are also not left behind, given their limitations in terms of this access to technology?
Absolutely. I think it's a point also that I have noted and that I've tried to address, to say it is important that infrastructure is developed in rural and urban areas to make sure that there is no inequality between the rural and urban population. And I'm suggesting that because this may take slightly longer, it is important that we take the best practice of Korea during the COVID-19 to deal with that, because the majority of election management bodies are not ready to roll out the technology that I'm suggesting. So in order to be able to make sure that people are still able to participate in the electoral process and that democracy is not deferred, that there is a need, therefore, to take the mechanisms and measures that were put in place in Korea and try to use that in different countries where the elections are taking place. Because the danger is, if we allow a situation where elections get postponed indefinitely and we have democracy being deferred, some of the people who really do not like democracy that much will take advantage of the situation and make sure that they remain in power in perpetuity.
What about the security concerns, Mr. Tselane? Because we know with every innovation, there are some chances. So there may be some loopholes that people look at. I mean, a case in point right now is what's happening in Parliament, even in some of the briefings by our senior government officials, where you see that their meetings on Zoom get hacked. So how do we prepare then ourselves for those security concerns? And how big a concern would that be, given in that context of going for this digital voting? And how can we offset that blow?
Of course, there is always a risk of hacking in any electronic technology measures. Take, for instance, in the banking sector, even though they've put in place mechanisms to ensure that we do not actually have hacking, that they've got very militarized security systems, you have occasional hacking in the banking sector. So it will become important, therefore, for any election management body to make sure that they put militarized in systems to make sure that it is not easy for those to be accessed by people who are not supposed to have access to those platforms.
Look, thank you so much for your time. Terry Tselane, the Executive Chairman of the Institute of Election Management Services in Africa. What do you make of that argument that we need to start embracing digital voting? Obviously, the big issues around infrastructure. And that's the conversation we've been having even around digital learning with university students, with some of the pupils, and whether there is equal playground here. Because there are people that are coming from poor families. There's no Wi-Fi, there are no resources. So even with voting, are we not going to run into a situation where those that are poor don't have the resources, are left behind? Because waiting for government to start building that infrastructure may take time. I mean, look at how it's taken for us to talk cheap data, for us to even talk about proper infrastructure that allows for easier access to the internet. So I wonder if that would work, and if as a country we are almost ready for that.